I encourage you to get your pen and paper. I'm going to give you some points and condense quite a lot of truth into the short time that we have this morning. Because I want you not just to hear it in the service. I want you to be like the Berean Christians and go home and study it more on your own. Because more than ever before, we need to understand the simple truth that we are sharing this morning. We are living in times that the Bible spoke about well ahead of time, before we are actually seeing it all around us today. Bible describes it as perilous times. When Paul was writing to Timothy hundreds of years ago by the Holy Spirit, he said to Timothy that the Holy Spirit was speaking to him expressly. In other words, he was speaking to him with urgency. That in the latter times, perilous times, times of danger, times of difficulties will come upon this earth. So how are we to live in such times? For us as Christians, there is already written in the Holy Bible the way to live victoriously in perilous times. The way to live victoriously in times of trouble. So if any of us as Christians is overcome by any trouble of life, it is because we lack understanding of the truth, number one, or secondly, we choose not to live by that truth. It's one thing to understand it, it's another thing to live by it. How many of us know that Adam understood the instructions of God very clearly? Because when Adam was created, he had perfect knowledge, perfect understanding. In the book of Genesis, Bible says when God created all the animals, God presented them to Adam to see. Again, look, to see what he will name them. And every name that Adam gave to the animal was the name thereof. In other words, he named them exactly the same name as God already named them before he created them. How did he know? Because there was no sin in him. So he was one with God. He was created in the image of God. He could speak as God would have spoken, because he was one. And he was always in fellowship with God. God would come down in the cool of the day and fellowship with Adam. But when sin came, he lost that. So we have to have clear understanding of what God says in his word, and then make choices to be doers of the word. Perilous times or no perilous times, as Christians, we have already overcome the world. Jesus said so. The Bible says so. The early church understood it. That was why they were very bold to testify of Christ everywhere. None of them was living in the kind of fear that we find many Christians living in today. They were bold people. They were people of courage. How did they get it? Because they had that understanding and they chose to agree with the word of God. They didn't lean on their own understanding. They didn't say, well, oh, Bible says perilous times will come, so we have to start living in fear. No, a Christian doesn't know anything that is called fear. Because 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, Bible says, God has not given us the spirit of fear. So where is fear coming from? As Christians, we have one spirit with God. So if fear is coming to us, it is not coming from God, it's coming from the devil. He's the spirit of fear. Fear has torment. God has not given us the spirit of fear. So for us, we have to have clear understanding of the truth and allow the faith of God to be established in us, to give us courage and boldness to walk this earth as God's children. When Jesus walked this earth, he showed us how to walk. Jesus walked in victory. Did you ever read in the Bible that one day Jesus was defeated? But don't you understand, he came as a man like you and I, to show us that if we obey God, we will walk this earth victoriously and successfully. And the other example is there of the first man, Adam, who disobeyed God and lost it. He came as the example that is good. Jesus came as the example that is good, so that we don't follow the mistake of Adam. Disobedience. Disobedience is costly. Say to yourself, disobedience is very costly. Obedience is good and full of great reward, both in this life and in the one to come. Amen. So we are going to be sharing on this truth. Jesus spoke at length about it. The early church understood it. They walked in it. They went through so much trouble, just like everybody that has ever served God here on earth walked through trouble, right from Adam when he fell. But we read in the Bible of those who overcame those troubles, and also we read in the Bible of those who were overcome by the troubles. Even in the New Testament church, there are examples of people in the church written there in the book of Acts who were overcome by troubles. And there are examples of people who overcame troubles. So what made the difference? Is God respect of persons? No. It's just based on their own choices. If you choose God, like God said, choose life, you walk and enjoy the blessings of life. You walk in the path of life and enjoy the reward and the blessings that are on the road called obedience. But if you choose to disobey God, well, you are going to walk in all the contrary things which God says we should not be having as Christians. Hallelujah. So turn with me quickly to John chapter 14. We'll begin by hearing from Jesus himself, the head of the church. I want to talk this morning about how to live victoriously in troubled times. You don't need a prophet to tell you that there is trouble all around today. But it's not a new thing. There has been trouble in this world right from the time the serpent went in the garden. He's the troublemaker. And trouble will continue in this world until God takes the devil and locks him away. Remember, in the millennia reign of Christ, there will be no trouble in this world at all. 1,000 years of no trouble, because the troublemaker has been shot away by God himself. An angel will come from heaven with an everlasting chain, Bible says, and take devil. It's not even two angels, just one angel of God. We take this devil that is causing trouble all over the world. You have to understand that the God we serve is an awesome God. He only sent one angel, not the chariot, just one angel. And that angel takes the devil. Come here, you devil! And chase him down. And the devil can't even fight this angel. One angel. Our God is awesome. And yet, this is the devil that everybody is afraid of. Unfortunately, some Christians are afraid of the devil more than they are afraid of God. And my Bible says only one angel will chain him down. Why should I be afraid of this thing? When God says, I have angels that serve me, and those angels are mightier. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. John chapter 14. Let's start from there. Verse 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Please underline the key word there, let. Let not. To let means to allow. So Jesus is saying, do not allow. Well, God will not tell you to do what you can't do. For God to say let not, it means you have the capacity to choose to not allow trouble to get in your heart. The moment trouble gets in the heart of any of us, even as believers, will be overcome by the trouble. The key to overcoming any trouble of life is to leave that trouble where it belongs in the world. Don't get it into your heart. Because the trouble is designed by the devil to come into your heart and make you sink. It's like a boat. The boat can travel in water and take you from point A to point B as long as the water does not get inside the boat. The moment the water gets inside the boat is going to sink. It can't get you to where you are going anymore. That's the way trouble works. The devil designs every trouble of life to get it into our heart and overwhelm us and make us sink under the problem. And you've heard the people of the world, you know, that's why I don't just borrow their language. Because the devil has trained them to speak. And life and death are in the power of the tongue, you see. Have you not heard this statement before? Under the circumstances, it looks like good English, isn't that so? Under the circumstances, I'm afraid. I can't help you. Look at how many words they have spoken to put themselves in trouble. They are already under the circumstances, so the circumstances are above them. Now they are afraid. They can't have faith, so they are going to fail. Already they say, I can't help you, finish. And they think that's good. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. No, for us as Christians, we don't have any business staying under any circumstances. We're overcomers. The circumstances are under us. So don't go about saying under the circumstances. Find another way of saying it. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And don't go about saying, I'm afraid. No, 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 no. That's not your own language. That's the language of the world. You have to speak the language of heaven. Don't say I'm afraid. Just say it as it is. Bible says, let your yes be yes and let your no be no. Anything beyond that is sin. It's all there in the Bible. If you can't help somebody, just say, I'm sorry, I can't help you. That's all. Don't say I'm afraid, I can't help you. That's all. It's as simple as that. Now, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. So you have the ability to not allow your heart to be troubled. Because Jesus gave you the ability. He will never tell you to do something he hasn't equipped you to do. For the sake of time, let's drop down. Again, please go home and study this more in depth. I'm going to give you some points and some further scriptures. But while we are here in John chapter 14, let us drop down to verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Remember, Jesus is making a long statement teaching his own people how to live in this world that is full of trouble. And he's saying, don't let your heart be troubled in verse 1. Rather, you walk by faith. You believe in God, believe also in me. I'm the word of God. You claim to be a believer in God, then believe in the word of God. That's what Jesus is saying in effect. Don't just go about talking religiously and say, I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. Well, if you're a Christian, then believe the word. That's what Jesus is saying. And then it says in verse 27, peace I leave with you. Please underline that word, peace. So when he said, let not your heart be troubled, and he repeats it in verse 27, he's giving them the key. This is what will help you to keep trouble out of your heart. I've put it in you. My peace I give to you. So where is the peace of God in your life? It's in your spirit. Because it's the fruit of the spirit. So Jesus is saying, I've put on the inside of you what can keep the trouble of this world outside of you. So don't allow the trouble to come in. In other words, let the peace that I've given you be active in your life. And then the trouble can't get in. It will remain where it is in the world. You have a question? Yes. Oh, trouble getting your heart. There's one way of all trouble getting your heart when you think upon the trouble. I'm going to be highlighting that in a short while. For instance, let me say, I'll give you a practical example. Maybe I visit the GP. And then the GP runs a test and says, he discovered I have a particular disease that is incurable. Aha. That's a bad news. Isn't that so? There's a potential for trouble now to come in my heart. If I leave that doctor's practice and all the way from there, I begin to think about what he said. I go home, I'm still thinking about I have incurable disease. The doctor says I only have 1 month left to live because this kind of disease, from all the record they have, nobody makes it for more than 1 month. So by the time I get home, I would have lost appetite. I can't even eat anymore because what the doctor said is occupying my thoughts. Now, in my thinking upon the word of the doctor, I'm meditating. And by meditating, I'm taking it from outside into my heart. It's the same way we get the word of God. You see, as I'm speaking to you right now, the word of God is not entering directly into your spirit yet until you receive it as the word of God, meditating on it. Then it passes from your mere human knowledge into your spirit. And it is when the word of God gets in your spirit that it becomes productive in your life. Not just when you hear. That's why the Bible says faith coming by hearing and hearing again. The first time you hear is just your soul, your human knowledge receiving the information. So all you have is just information, not revelation. It is when you meditate. That was why God told Joshua, meditate in the word. Joshua heard the word before, but God said meditate. In other words, give that word your full attention. Think upon it all the time, so that it can get into your spirit and find root in your heart, in your human spirit, so that it can produce after its kind in your life. That's when you are going to make your way prosperous and have good success. So, trouble gets in our heart when we think upon the trouble, when we meditate on it. We don't deny the fact that we have trouble. I'm going to show you in the Bible, many places. The Bible tells us, so it's not a new thing. As long as you're in this world, you are going to have trouble. And there's no point you waking up in the morning and praying for no trouble. God doesn't hear prayers like that. That's why you have to understand the Bible and don't pray all this religious prayer. God, do not let me have trouble today. Well, you have plenty. You better know and understand that you're going to have trouble every day. What you need to understand is that you have the capacity to overcome every one of those troubles. Jesus has already given to you what will keep the trouble out of your heart. As long as the trouble doesn't get in your heart, the trouble cannot overcome you. For any trouble to overcome any of us, it has to get in our heart. We have to think upon it. That's why the Bible says, don't think on those things. Rather, you be thinking on things of good report. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, think on the word of God. Think on things that are praiseworthy. And then you have the peace of God active in your life, because peace is the fruit of the Holy Spirit in you and is there to help your human spirit receive it and produce the fruit in your own life. It's like the gardener wanting to dress you up with the beauty of God's own garden. That's why you need to give the Holy Spirit the word of God so that I can then dress you up on the inside and make the fruit of peace to be active in your life to keep all the troubles outside of you. The fact that a Christian has trouble on the outside is no news. In fact, if you don't have trouble, I'll challenge your faith. Because Jesus, the head of the church, while he was here, had plenty of troubles. And all the apostles, you study the book of Acts, they all have plenty of troubles. Even great apostle Paul had plenty. And Bible says we are going to have it. Jesus said the servant is not above his master. If they persecuted him, they are going to persecute also. So the early church understood these things and they just walked in the instructions of Jesus. So the peace of God is what will keep us out. I'm going to give you the points in a short while. But turn with me while we are still in the book of John to chapter 16. Again, the teachings of Jesus is continuing. It says here in chapter 16, very popular verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Please underline that in your Bible again. Remember, we just read in chapter 14, he said, my peace I give to you. I leave you with peace and I give you the peace, not as the world gives. I'm giving you the kind of peace. So at that point, therefore, I want you to note this. If Jesus says the peace he has given us is not like the world, then we have to understand his own peace is different. In the world, how do people talk about peace? What is peace? Absence of war or absence of trouble. That's what people would define peace. How they already, or rather, that's how people would define peace in the world. Peace means no war or no trouble. Everything is just peaceful. That's how they are. That's what peace is in the world. But they never have it. Even when they sign peace pact, they break it. Because as long as the devil is around, they can't have peace. It's the troublemaker. So Jesus already tells us the peace he's talking about is not like the world. So what is the kind of peace that Jesus is talking about? The kind of peace Jesus is talking about is his own ability to stay calm in the midst of trouble. Not absence of trouble, but you are in trouble, but the trouble don't trouble you. That is the peace of Christ. It's different from the world. Remember how he was in the boat in the storm and he was sleeping on a pillow. And the disciples were panicking. They lost their own peace. But Jesus had peace. He was just sleeping through the storm. That is peace. Peace is the ability to be calm in the midst of trouble. The troubles don't bother you. They don't shake you. They don't move you. When you walk in that, you overcome the devil. There's nothing he can do. Because he has to get the trouble on the inside of you for him to succeed. If he can't get the trouble on the inside of you, then it means faith is on the inside of you. The shield is in place. It will quench all the fiery dart of the wicked one. He just can't succeed. Many Christians don't understand this peace, and some think they still have to go and get it somewhere. But my Bible tells me that peace is already in you. Why? Because the kingdom of God is already in you. And what is the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. They're all the fruit of the Spirit. It's already in you. You just need to focus more on what you have on the inside than the trouble that is on the outside. And then that peace will become active in your life, and it is the power of God to keep out of you what the devil is sending. The peace of God. The devil can't get you upset. Then he can't get you to fall. He has to upset you in order to sink you. The water has to get in the boat for the boat to sink. Don't let your heart be troubled, Jesus says. So he has given you peace to keep the trouble out of you. Hallelujah. Now look at John chapter 16 verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. So you see the relationship now between the word of God and peace. He's saying, I've given you instructions so that you can have peace in me. You are my people. You are in me. You are in the world, but you are not of the world. You are in me while you are in the world. And I am the Prince of Peace, and I've brought you peace. So receive my peace through obedience to my instructions. As long as you obey the word of God, the Holy Spirit, who produces the fruit of peace in you, will help you have that peace, and that will keep the trouble out where it belongs. These things are spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. In other words, you are going to have trouble in the world. That's why I said, don't pray for no trouble. You are praying against Jesus. And you can't pray against Jesus, you see. Jesus is the head. He said, you are going to have trouble. Say, yes, sir. But I thank you, you already gave me what I need to overcome the trouble. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Trouble, come, come. Trouble, come, 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 come. Praise God, I'm a winner in Christ. That's what we should be saying as Christians. Not living in fear of trouble. You say trouble, come, come, come. Come, try your best or your worst. I already have the key to overcome you. Jesus has given it to me. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. In other words, in the midst of the trouble, cheer up. The same thing James says, my brethren, count it all joy. He didn't say count some of them joy. He said count it all joy when you fall into diverse kinds of temptation, all kinds of trouble. Rejoice. Because you already have what it takes to overcome all of them. In the world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In other words, I've already overcome the world for you. Just take my peace. And you will overcome the world too. Hallelujah. Now, please write this down. And go home and study your notes. Oh, please study this. We need it more than ever before. And you share it with other Christians too. Share with the brethren. You see, one of the most important things for us as Christians is to be our brother's keepers. When you have the light, give it to others. Because we are one family in Christ. And that's the only way we all can glorify God. When we walk in the best of God and put the devil where it belongs. Jesus is actually waiting for us to do so, and then he'll come and take us. He's waiting for us to make his enemies our footstool. You see, you and I are the body of Christ. We are the people that Jesus is waiting for to put the devil under, because Jesus has already done that. He has put the devil under, triumphing over him on the cross. Now he's waiting for his body to do the same. Hallelujah. Please write this down. As long as we are in this world, we will have trouble from time to time. Every one of us. As long as we are in this world, we'll have trouble from time to time. The only time we'll have trouble anymore is when we leave this world. There's no trouble in heaven where we belong. But as long as we're in this world, we're going to have trouble from time to time. In front of that, please write the scriptures. Job chapter 14 verse 1. John chapter 16 verse 33. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 5. We've already looked at John chapter 16 verse 33. So quickly let's turn to Job chapter 14 and verse 1. We'll just read them out. But as I said, please go home, study them some more. I don't want to just leave you with it. Some of you I know will not go back and study it in time. And if you don't study these things in time, the tendency is to forget them. Best way is to be quick to do what you need to do in terms of building up yourself in your most holy faith, so that I don't allow the devil to come and make you be a forgetful hearer of the word, but a doer, so that you can profit thereby. Verse 1, Job 14, man that is born of a woman. Well, are you a man born of a woman? So he's talking about man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. Well, that's the word of God. Our days are full of trouble while we are in this world. Quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 8. Some say, well, I will pray for no trouble. But then they get trouble. And they don't know what to do because they are not expecting trouble. Well, if you are expecting trouble and you prepare yourself, then when trouble comes, you know what to do. The trouble won't move you. Verse 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. So trouble can come on every side. Trouble can come to you in your workplace. Trouble can come to you in the family. Trouble can come to you amongst friends. Trouble can come to you everywhere you go. You can even go to the supermarket and trouble will come there. Because the devil goes to and fro. And up and down. And it just causes trouble everywhere it goes. Have you ever seen a place the devil visits and there's no trouble there? If how would you know the devil has been somewhere? It's by the trouble. That's a sign the devil has been there. He just goes everywhere causing trouble. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 5. Quickly now. Verse 5 says, for when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Hallelujah. Look at the great apostle Paul saying they went on the missionary journey to Macedonia, but they had trouble on every side while they were in the course of doing what God told them to do. So expect trouble. Now, please write this next. Again, the first point is that as long as we are in this world, we will have trouble from time to time. Now, please write this. But we must not allow the trouble to get into our hearts. That's just what we need to understand. We're going to have trouble, so what I just need to do is make sure the trouble doesn't get in my heart. In front of that, we've looked at the scriptures, John chapter 14, verse 1 and verse 27. Now, please write this next. The key to keeping trouble out of your heart and leaving it where it belongs in the world, the key to keeping trouble out of your heart and leaving it where it belongs in the world, that's where the trouble belongs, in the world. Jesus said, in the world you shall have it. But he said, don't get it in your heart. So the key to doing that is the peace of Christ. So it's not something any man can do. It is by Christ himself. Another question? Yes. Yes. Well, we can cause trouble for ourselves, but who is the tempter that got us to cause trouble for ourselves? The devil. So, at the end of the day, the devil does not force anybody to do anything. It tempts you. It's a good question. The devil tempts you, but you made the wrong choice. So, the trouble, exactly. So, the devil is like a salesman. He will try to convince you to buy the product. And if you buy into his lies, he will convince you. And in fact, you think you are making the right decision. But at the end of the day, it's going to end up to be the wrong one. Why did Eve, after the devil had worked on her mind, why did she look at the same tree that God said don't eat from? And Bible says she actually saw that it was a good tree to eat from. We never read in the Bible that the devil went and plucked from that tree and forced the woman to eat. It was the woman herself that took it. But the first thing is that the devil convinced her in her mind to do it. So at the end of the day, we are part of the trouble in bringing it into our own heart. Because we don't listen to God. We lean on our own human understanding, and the devil walks through our human understanding to deceive us. All right, very good question. So, the key to keeping the trouble out of our hearts and leaving it where it belongs in the world is the peace of Christ. Now please write this down as we summarize and close. How do we allow this peace of Christ to walk in us? Again, as I said, the peace is already in you. If you are a Christian, peace is already in you. It is the fruit of the Spirit. And the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, and that kingdom is already in you. But the fact that peace is in you does not mean you are going to benefit from that peace until you allow that peace to have its way in your heart. So you can have peace in you and still get trouble on the inside of you if you just say, peace, you take a pillow and sleep. I don't need you. I can handle this myself. Then you get trouble in and you find out that, well, I couldn't handle anything. I thought I could. You see, just let peace do the job. So there are two key ways of making the peace of God active in your life. Number one, by meditating in the Word of God. You meditate in the Word of God. So I'm going to give you scriptures. So the number one thing is the Word of God. That's one way, one major way of getting peace active in your life. John chapter 16 verse 33. Colossians chapter 3 verses 15 and 16. Psalm 119 verse 165. Hallelujah. I tell you, there are so many beautiful scriptures there that just help us to walk in the best God has for us. Okay, quickly, let's look at those scriptures again. We've looked at John 16:33. Let's look quickly at Colossians 3. At least read it so that you can hear it for the first time and then go back home and hear it again and again when you study your notes. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Colossians 3 verses 15 and 16. And let the peace of God rule in your heart. Please underline the word rule. You have to allow peace to be the one in control of your heart. So let that peace be exalted in your thoughts. And let him be the one in control of your heart, taking charge, the ruler of your heart, not the trouble. To the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. That's your calling. You are calling, you have been called in Christ to walk in peace and rule and reign in this life by Christ Jesus through the peace he has given to you. And then if you associate that with the next verse, you see that there's a connection between that peace and the word of God. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. In other words, in your heart, so that the peace can be active in you. And also Psalm 119. So whether we look in the Old Testament or the New, we find exactly the same thing. Because God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Psalm 119. Verse 165, quickly. Let's read together. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I love that. Nothing. Nothing shall offend people who love the word of God, because they are going to have great peace in their lives. The word of offend there means to make them stumble. So in other words, the devil's tricks will not succeed in their life. The devil is the one that sets trap for us to make us fall. Nothing will make you fall when you love the word of God, because the Holy Spirit will produce the standard of peace in you to rule in your heart. And if the devil can't get the trouble inside of you, it can't succeed. It's as simple as that. So therefore, make this note under that. Meditate in the word rather than the trouble. So think upon the promises of God rather than thinking upon your trouble. That's the way to keep the peace ruling in your heart and keep the devil, the trouble out. In front of that, please write the scriptures, Philippians 4:8 and Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3, Philippians 4:8 simply tells us what to think upon. Again, those things are the things that are in the Word of God, things that are of good report. The Word of God is the only good report we have in this world. And Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, Bible says right there that when we really love God, again, we are going to walk in the peace of God. That's the way it works. There's no other way. Let's quickly look at that. Isaiah 26, verse 3. I love that. I love that. It's all about the peace of God that is already in us. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. In other words, the mind of that individual is focused on the Word of God. It's not thinking about the trouble. So God will keep him in perfect peace because of that, because he trusted in God. Finally, the second thing you need to do to make the peace of Christ active in your life is to pray. Say to yourself, I need the Word of God and prayer to keep the peace of God active in me. So prayer, Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, we all know what is there, so we don't need to turn there. It says, don't worry about anything, remember? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God. And verse 7 says, and the peace. So when you pray, the peace will be stirred up, because the Holy Spirit will produce it in you as you allow him to walk. Psalm chapter 34, verse 6. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 23. So instead of worrying about the problem, pray. Turn to those two scriptures, and then we're going to pray and leave it there. Again, go back home and study more on this. We need to know how to live in this troublesome world and walk in all the victory that Jesus has already given to us over this world. We are overcomers in Christ Jesus forevermore. Psalm 34, verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Hallelujah. The trouble cannot overcome you when you pray. You will overcome them all. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers him out of them all. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 23. And get ready to pray for yourself. And after you've prayed for yourself, then we'll pray the prayer of agreement together for every one of us in this church and in the body of Christ. Ephesians 6, verse 23. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I love the prayer of Paul. Peace be to you. So he's praying that we have that peace at work in our lives. So let's turn now one-on-one with the Lord to 2 Thessalonians. Just turn your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians and pray this for yourself first, and then we'll pray it in the spirit of agreement for one another. We have to receive from the Lord before we can share with others. Paul said, I have received of the Lord that which I'm also declaring unto you. We have to have light before we can give to others. So you pray this for yourself first, and then we'll pray for one another. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, for the sake of time, let's just look at verse 16. I want you to look at that verse and pray it for yourself. And then we are going to read it together in one accord and pray it for one another. But go ahead and read it prayerfully for yourself first. Let your eyes behold what is written there, and let your heart receive it, and ask God to perform it as it is written in your life. Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened. Every time we ask according to the word of God, God will give it to us. He will never allow his word to return back to him void if we receive it by faith. So receive it by faith and thank God that the Holy Spirit produces this promise in your life as yea and amen because of your faith in Jesus. And if you have done that, now let us read it together and ask God to minister accordingly to every one of us in this church and all our fellow brethren in the body of Christ everywhere. Bible says, if any two shall touch and agree together concerning anything that they shall ask for, it shall be done of our Father who is in heaven. God loves us to pray the prayer of agreement according to his word for the benefit of all in Jesus' name. So let's go. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we stand upon your word and we ask accordingly. The same way you moved Apostle Paul to pray this prayer for the church in Thessalonica hundreds of years ago, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We pray for one another. Every brethren of ours in Christ, both in this local body of Christ and in every congregation of the saints all over the world, we ask in the name of Jesus that the peace of Christ that he came to give to us and that he left with us before he returned to heaven be manifest in our lives at all times, in all situations, by all means, because we look to you, O God, looking away from ourselves and looking to the power of your Holy Spirit, the power at work in us, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Thank you for peace rising up in every believer everywhere right now to keep trouble out of our hearts, Lord, that we may walk in all the victory that belongs to us now and always. In Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Now lift your hands to God and thank him. And say to yourself, the peace of God rules in my heart today and always. I will not allow any trouble in my heart. I will meditate on the word of God rather than the trouble. And the Holy Spirit will help me to walk in the peace of Christ and walk in victory over all my troubles. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.